To me, Media Education Lab has just been this kind of consistent partner and kind of going parallel with us and moving media literacy forward.
And I think in our community, there's a lot that Media Education Lab is able to do that we aren't able to do.
Welcome to the Media Ed Podcast, celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Media Education Lab. I'm your host, Executive Director of the Lab, Yonti Friza. In this podcast, I talk with lab members and colleagues about their experiences with the lab. Today, I'm thrilled to share my conversation with National Association for Media Literacy Education, namely Senior Advisor Michelle Sciola-Lipkin and Executive Director Donnell Probst. When I spoke to them 3 years ago, I asked them to reflect on their history of working with Professor Renee Hobbs and the Media Education Lab. Michelle, how would you define the Media Education Lab?
The Media Education Lab is one of the organizations that has been consistently leading media literacy efforts since I came into this community. When I started at Namely in 2012, I remember my training, you know, when Sherry Hope Culver, you know, gave me my orientation to the media literacy community and the vastness of it. Media Education Lab, Renee Hobbs, was such a significant part of that original orientation to the media literacy community that Namely, you know, is a part of, obviously. And so I see Media Literacy Education Lab, you know, it's a community. It's bringing together practitioners and scholars. But I also see Media Education Lab as a way to bring the global conversation together. When I think of the people that are participating in Media Education Lab events and conversations, it is a diverse group of countries represented, and so lots of different voices, which I always appreciate.
Wow, perfect. Donnell, how about you?
I think the Media Education Lab is so consistent, like both from a standpoint of the people. I feel like it's one of the few organizations that continues to do so much in our community, but I feel like there's always a core group of people that I recognize as being associated with the work of Media Education Lab, whether it's from the Summer Institute or leading the conversations that, you know, would happen on a weekly basis. You know, we do a lot of convening of like a broader group of people. And I feel like some of those like more intimate conversations, which are so necessary, and really kind of digging into like resource development and professional development on an ongoing basis are things that Namely doesn't always have the bandwidth to do. And so it's nice to see those pieces being shored up in our community. And I think like Renee too, right? Like it's Renee Hobbs. And then I feel like Yanti, you've done such a great job over the years of like bringing in that space and a new voice, but again, still consistent voice.
Wow, perfect. Thanks. Okay. So when first did you start working with Renee, with the Media Education Lab? If you remember that or other like stories of, you know, collaborating.
Yeah, I feel like Media Education Lab and Renee are like, you know, the seven connections to Kevin Bacon. You know, it's like you find your way to her somehow in this community. And then you all of a sudden realize all these other connections you have lead back to her as well. And I remember hearing about her, obviously, in like my undergrad, my media studies, right? And like, had not met her, she was just an author, right? Like an author of stuff that we were required to read. And then I hooked up with Namely. I came to meet you, Yanti, in our student leadership group. And you were the one that really twisted my arm and like forced me into writing papers and presenting and like coming out of my shell and like recognizing that I had like a valuable perspective that needed to be heard, you know, when talking about like disability and media literacy. And so then to kind of make that connection coming into Namely that, oh, this person I was reading, you know, their research and content about is now this person who's in my community and part of, you know, the organization that I eventually would become employed by. And now, you know, I think back and it's you for sure, Yatir, one of my first, you know, connections outside of Michelle in the media literacy community. And so it's wild to think that, you know, long, long ago, it's what started it all. And now here I am, like, I'm, you know, almost a decade later and, you know, working full time and, you know, can't believe what's happened. So it, I feel like that's like a perfect example, right, of how the Media Education Lab, like, is just such a hub of sorts in our community. It's like all roads, you know, kind of lead back to Renee Hobbs.
Michelle, anything to add?
I think that throughout my time at Namely, which is I'm in my 13th year at Namely, and I don't remember a time where I wasn't somehow interacting with the Media Education Lab and Renee and you, Yanti. I feel as if, you know, we have, there's been so much, so many people entering this space, so many people leaving this space. And I do feel like we are very loyal, consistent members of this space. And so I really don't remember a time where Renee wasn't part of the conversation, wasn't part of the work, specifically her work on the journal Media Literacy Education. And then, of course, your work on the journal has been something, again, that's consistent throughout my time at Namely and way before me also. So I think there's been lots of great opportunities to partner over the years. I think we've done a good job, Yanti, and like, not like we're the next generation, but like, you know, we haven't been around as long as some folks like Renee have. And so I feel like we've been able to kind of continue that relationship and continue moving media literacy forward together. I can think about the times that, you know, we've worked on events, having you as our research chair for 2019. I attended the Digital Literacy Institute in Rhode Island because I really wanted some hands-on PD. But I think, you know, I can remember the first Namely conference I went to, which was in 2003. And that was 9 years before I joined the organization. And I remember making sure, like, I got to go to one of Renee's sessions. I got to see what this is about. And so I remember it way, you know, from way back then.
It's interesting because I also started 13 years ago. It's when I moved to the U.S. So
funny.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So from your perspective, what, in your opinion, is the most significant role of the Media Education Lab?
I think that the Media Education Lab does a good job at bringing different voices together. And I don't want this to seem simple because I'm amazed. The Media Education Lab is so prolific. The amount that is done by the Media Education Lab is so extraordinary. Like the amount of webinars, the amount of gatherings, the amount that you produce. And I think that that provides a consistency that is really important in the media literacy community. So it's partly building community. It's partly giving the community places to go to regularly.
Yeah. Okay. Donnell?
I do feel like that, you know, Namely and like the Media Ed Lab, we've just been here before a lot of people. And I know we're going to be here long after other people leave. And it's like, we're still here. Like, come join us. And there's something nice to not being the only people that are like that. It's just like, feels like, oh, okay. They will always fight for this.
Agreed. I think I felt that in the leadership summit. You could see the difference between the I don't know if old folks, but the kind of more persistent, let's call it that way, folks, and more newcomers that we don't know if they're going to stay or not, and kind of, and the different depth of discussion between. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, like, and I was thinking about this on a call earlier today, but, you know, I mean, we're in, you know, a mission driven field, right? Which is not an easy space to work in. Like, I've done it in disabilities. Now I'm doing it with media literacy. Like, when you're trying to affect change, it's like molasses. And like, you have to have patience and you have to be persistent and be patient. You know, the patience is just endless because change is so slow. And so, you know, I think that people who can do that, and I'm not saying that because I'm in this space, but just the people that I meet who are in spaces like this, it takes a special kind of person and it takes a special kind of commitment to a cause and a mission to sustain for this long. So
thanks. So anything else, like thoughts about the relationship between Namely and the Media Education Lab? Or
I do think that as the space has evolved, media literacy in general, and how it's really gone from conversations in higher ed to a lot of work in the pre-K-12 space, there has been something really important that the Media Education Lab still thinks about research and thinks about higher ed. And I think that that's really, really important, especially now in the media literacy community, because as we've seen an expansion in the community, the amount of people, you know, the amount of organizations, that piece is, I think, getting a little smaller, which is not good for the community, because the K-12 space is getting so large that I think it's really, really important that we continue to do whatever we can to bring the research communities together. Not saying that's not happening, but when it does happen, it's really, really significant. I think the Media Education Lab has allowed that to continue to thrive in ways that are really, it's really important.
Like I said before, I think your addition to the Media Education Lab is so awesome. I might be biased because I feel like we've been friends for a long time. However, I think it's such a great, everything that's been happening with Media Education Lab, I think, is just perfect. Like, it's a perfect next kind of step for Media Education Lab with the growth and seeing more professional development and more of what it's always done really well.
I need to play this podcast for self-affirmation, kind of. That's awesome. I forgot totally about the student group. That's right.
So we're talking about NCA and I'm like, no, what about the student leadership council?
Right,
that's
all. Totally forgot about that.
And then you forced me to do all those other things. Just kidding.
Well, but it was valuable, and still there's not enough voice. I'm trying. Yeah, there was this webinar we did about autism in Britain and how it's related to extremists. It was fascinating. Something that is not talked about. So still, we need to work more on that. Yep.
Well, yeah, I mean, you ever want to talk to somebody about it? You know, I have a now adult, fully grown human being with autism who loves to talk about media and media literacy and autism. So
people are interested. So I'm thinking like how and what, but it's something, yeah, we need to explore more, I think.
Yeah.
That's it for today's episode. I want to give thanks to my guests, Michelle Shiula-Lipkin and Donnell Probst of Namely, for sharing their thoughts and for both of their valuable contribution to media literacy education. Please join us for the next episode of the Media Ed Podcast as we continue to celebrate the work of the Media Education Lab and envision its future. Our soundtrack is Vera's Song, composed and produced by Victor Lundberg. I'm your host, Yonti Friesen. Until next time, use your media literacy power thoughtfully, kindly, and wisely.